ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्रितां येन तस्मै नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं दधाति शपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीजटापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगनारगणतान्वितं स्तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगनाललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धुजगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते तप्ता काञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशाकोपतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धोभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्रीयाद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासदिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरि 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 राम 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 हरि हरि सो आर यू रेडी टू गिव अस अ रिपोर्ट ऑफ व्हाट यू फाउंड
देयर इज वर्ड मेंशन यस इज थाने मींस एवरीथिंग इज सस्टेन्ड बाय हिम बट इन द न्यू एडिशन इट इज सेड इट according to the understanding, what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that Srila Prabhupada knows that, okay, everything is sustained by the Lord.
Mm.
But the new edition says, sustained within Him. Though this is Achinda Bheda Bheda, and it's not, understandable to our material senses.
Mm.
But according to what I feel is what Prabhupada has written is sustained by him is more actually clear that the common man.
Then why do you suppose he wrote within him?
over here?
Not why do you suppose we published within him? Why do you suppose he dictated within him? I didn't make up within him. Why do you suppose Prabhupada dictated within him?
Because he wants us to understand that though we are actually, part and parcel of the Lord, he wants us to make us understand also that we are a part and parcel of the Lord. So we come from Krishna.
So that's why he dictated within him.
Within him, yes.
Yeah. That's good. Since that's what he dictated, that's what we published in the second edition.
Yes.
What else did you find?
Also I found out that the second paragraph it says actually, to enter Krishna's supreme abode or the innumerable Vaikuntha planet is possible only by bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
And here it says it's clearly stated that only bhakti or devotional service one can enter into the Vaikuntha planetary system. In all the Vaikunthas there is only one supreme Godhead. And it says that there is no other process that one can enter into that supreme abode, and then there is a little more expansion where Prabhupada wants has to understand the Vedas also describe. There's an elaborate description about...
Where? In which book are you talking about?
I'm talking about the new book.
Yeah, and it's more elaborate.
He's elaborated about the Supreme Abode.
Mm-hmm.
And over here, he's just given a small glimpse about the Supreme Abode.
Mm-hmm.
And even the planetary expansions, one more thing that I found is Eko Vasi Sarva Gaha Krishna. In that abode there is only one, Krishna. Now here he wants us to understand that there is only one Krishna.
Mm.
Many times people might misunderstand that, Krishna has his planetary expansions as Shankarshan, Anirudh, Pradyumna. So we should not understand that there are many Krishnas.
Yeah, now you're explaining. I just wanted to, an objective report.
Yes.
Maybe I'll give the report because I know what I'm looking for.
Okay. Yes, Maharaj, there's a lot of difference between
To enter Krishna's supreme abode is possible only by bhakti, devotional service, as clearly indicated here by the word bhaktiya.
There was a quote.
Yeah, I'm coming to that. As clearly indicated by the word bhaktiya. Does it say in the first edition, as clearly indicated by the word bhaktiya?
No.
No, that's left out. So you get the commentary that this is what it's about, but Prabhupada tags it. He tells you what verse, what word he's glossing. You know, this is called glossing a word, you know, to explain the word. Prabhupada says, this is the word, this is what it means. In the first edition, you get what it means, but you don't get the word. Because they left it out. Because it was Sanskrit. And Sanskrit was something that they didn't always hear. So that's left out. Then the Vedas describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eko Vashi Sarvaga Gaha Krishna. Is that verse there?
Yeah, this verse is not there.
It's not there. The verse is left out. Prabhupada's giving Vedic evidence. Eko Vashi Sarvagaha Krishna from Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Left out in the first edition, included in the second edition. Next, apart from some minor things, the Brahma Sanghita also confirms Goloka Eva Nivasatya Kilatma Bhuta. Is there anything about the Brahma Sanghita? Also left out. And in the Vedas, Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate, Sabhaviki Gyana Bala Kriyacha. That's also left out, isn't it? Okay, now you know the main differences between the purport in the first edition and the purport in the second edition. In summary, there's a hell of a lot left out in the first time around. Any questions? No. Macmillan had nothing to do with editing Bhagavad Gita as it is. We gave them a photo-ready copy. You know, shoot these, in fact, either photo-ready copy or actual films. So they didn't put their pen in there at all as far as the...
Didn't they ask for something?
Excuse me?
Didn't they ask for...
That was the first edition. Oh, the abridged little blue Mahavishnu on the cover edition. They had a target to fit a set that they were doing. They wanted the book to be a certain number of pages, and so it was cut down, and Prabhupada was not very happy about that. But the second time, due to the popularity of the first, that condensed edition, they agreed to do the full book, and Prabhupada was happy about that. So that's the 1972 Macmillan edition, and anything that's left out or mistaken in that edition, we have to take responsibility for. It's not Macmillan's fault. They're innocent. They're innocent in the matter. I may be a demon, but the Macmillan Company is completely innocent. They just published what we gave them. Okay, so there. Any other questions?
Obvious why was that left out?
Excuse me?
Obvious why were those
things? Why was it left out? It was left out usually because what you find in the manuscript is like where there's a quotation, they leave a parenthesis and a space. The transcriber hears something and doesn't know what they don't know the verse. They've never parasha shakti vivida. You know, we know that. We're all familiar with that verse, or most of us are if we've been around. But back in 1966, 67, nobody knew these verses, so they'd hear something and they'd just leave a space and keep typing. Or they'd write something like, parashak shru, you know, some approximation of what was there. And the editors didn't know very much more than the transcribers did. So the editor takes his red pen and looks, para, bak, shru, space, and draws a red pen mark through it and keeps going. Which, from one point of view, is a sensible thing to do because you want to get the book out. And if you sit there for 10 years scratching your head over this thing, you're not going to get it out. So they just penned it out. Plus, as Gargamuni Prabhu once told me, the English editor didn't like Sanskrit. You know, he didn't like seeing a lot of Sanskrit in the book. So it was left out for, you know, practical editorial reasons. They didn't know how to deal with it, so when you don't know how to deal with it, you scratch it out. But when we did it the second time, we knew the verses. We could also refer to, you know, Baladev or whichever commentary Prabhupada's following, and you see, yep, that's the verse. And then you put it back in. And, you know, some people would say if Prabhupada had wanted, they say so many things. But to me it seems clear that if Prabhupada dictated it, he dictated it because he wanted it to be there. You can have some other theory, but that's my operating hypothesis is that what Prabhupada dictated was what he wanted to include in his book. And so in the second edition, because we were able to recover this material, we recovered it. And that's the difference. And this happens a lot, by the way. There are a lot of places in the Bhagavad Gita as it is where you'll find the explanation, but not the word that's being explained. You know, so here, the word yasyantakstani means, but you may not find, you'll find the meaning, but not yasyantakstani. Or here, yasyantakstani may be there, but some other word, bhaktya, indicates. So you find what it indicates, but you don't find out what's doing the indicating. The Sanskrit word is left out. Happens many times in the first edition of Bhagavad Gita as it is, which is still a wonderful book, made many devotees and can still make devotees, completely transcendental, and not as good as the second edition because it leaves this material out. But sometimes even the English, the devotees wouldn't get it. Prabhupada's English was heavily accented. I remember mistaking shyness for sinus. Because Bengalis, when they pronounce an S, it's sha. So sometimes, you know, Prabhupada would say sa, but it would be sha, and sometimes it would go the other way. So his sinus, it's sort of in the middle there, you know, sinus. Now, is that sinus or is that shyness? It's very hard to tell, especially in the word-for-word meanings. It gets very bad. Ye chaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas cha ye mate vedi tam vidhi nachaham te shute mai. We came across this in a class in Washington, D.C. Ye, word-for-word meanings. All those, chaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas cha ye, also. First time around, yay is all those, and the second time it's also. And you can be sure it was all those both times, but without a sentence to give you a context, you don't know what you're hearing, so they heard also and they wrote it down. But yay never means also. It meant the same thing the second time that it meant the first time. So these are the things that happen. Anything else about this?
I have something.
Yes. Yes.
Macmillan
edition, there's only one, there are two editions, just to make things clear. There's a condensed edition, which has no Sanskrit, no word-for-word meaning, chopped down purports. And then there's this one, the Parvati Mata James. That's the what we'd call the first unabridged edition. There's three editions. There's the condensed Collier Macmillan edition, which was like a 300-page book.
Which is historical now.
Which is a historical thing, which BBT also published later. That's a long story. But there's that. Then there's the first unabridged edition, published by Macmillan Company in 1972. Big, thick one that Parvati Mataji has in her lap. Okay, so that's the first Macmillan edition, and the only Macmillan edition. There was nothing further. And then in 1983, there's the second edition. That's the 1983 edition. That's the one with the added bonuses like Bhaktya and Eko Sarvavashi Krishna and Prasya Shakti Vividaiva Shrite and all those other goodies that were left out. Oh yeah, 8th chapter. Oh yeah, they left out. Left out, become my devotee.
Yeah. So instead of things becoming clouded, they're actually becoming clearer.
Seems that way to me.
Fabulous. It seems that way to me.
Good. Thank you, Maji. Hare Krishna.
I'm happy now.
Good. We're happy, you're happy.
The convention of some of these people, they say, they don't think like here, you put things in, the Prabhupada's spoken. But their contention is that things were taken out. That it sounds like more things were put in, regardless of where they came from, Prabhupada, than taken out.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's things were taken out.
Very little. There was, it's taken out, Chakvasa Dharmam Charanam Bhujam Harer. Is that the one? Yeah, if one gives up, no, it's not there. Someplace there are words that Prabhupada didn't speak that find their way to, like, I'll give you an example. Rama Shastra Bhatamaham, in the 10th chapter. Rama Shastra Bhatamaham. Among the wielders of weapons, I am Rama. And in the purport, it's explained that Lord Rama of the Ramayana is an incarnation of Krishna. Prabhupada never said that. It's taken out of the second edition because Prabhupada never said anything about Lord Rama of the Ramayana. It's not there in the manuscripts. And what is there in the commentaries of both Baladev Vibhushan and I think Bhakti Vinod Thakur is that Rama in this verse refers to Parshuram. So the editor was doing us a favor, you know, in case you didn't know who Rama is, we're going to explain it for you. Which was courteous and reasonable, but he happened to get it wrong. So every now and then we did take something out, yes, but as you say, very little. And never because we were afraid that people were going to find out something Krishna conscious that we didn't want them to know. Anything else?
Well, you've gone through a lot with this, and I commend you.
Oh, it's all in a day's work, Maji. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that I did. I got maybe of the, yeah, of the maybe, we sent out, I don't know how many copies of that letter, like 100 or more, all the ISKCON temples in the English-speaking world, all the sannyasis, all the GBC men. So maybe, you know, this is before the internet, so that was really quite an effort to get the word out. I got maybe three or four responses. Of a minor nature. Anyway, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that one has to be equal in fame and defamation. And if you don't get defamed, you don't get any practice. Okay. Shall we get on with the actual subject of the verse? Unless there are any other questions. No. Okay. purusha sa para partha bhaktya labhyas trananyaya yasyantakstani bhutani yena sarvamidam tam. The Lord is explaining the nature of the ultimate goal, the ultimate destination, who's described in the Vedic literature as being aksham, avyaktam, unmanifest, infallible, and paramamgati, being the supreme destination. And here that destination is described as purusha, the supreme personality of Godhead. Purushasa para, but not, he's, as described later, purushottam. He's transcendental. He's a person, but he's not a person of this material world. Purusha, sa para partha. He's the transcendental purusha, adi purusha. Bhaktya, labhyas, tvananyaya. And how can he be achieved? By bhakti. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. He's achieved by devotional service. What kind of devotional service? Ananyaya. Ananya bhakti means nothing else mixed in. Jnana karmadhyanavritam. No mental speculation. No fruitive intentions. Pure devotional service. If we want to reach Krishna, then bhaktya labhyas. Labhya means attainable. You can get him. Lab means to get, to attain. One can attain Krishna by unalloyed devotional service. Prabhupada saw a sign one time, I think in Boston, it said unalloyed steel. And Prabhupada said, they have unalloyed steel, we have unalloyed devotional service. Unalloyed means pure, nothing else added. No addition of mental speculation, sense gratification, or anything else. Pure devotional service. Yes, yantak stani, bhutani. Everything is situated within him. Yasya antaha stani. Everything is situated within Krishna. And at the same time, yena sarvam idam tatam. Krishna is situated within everything. He's pervading everything. Does Prabhupada quote here? No, but he could have. He paraphrases it. Brahma Sangita. Akilatma Bhuta. What is that? Ananda Chinmaya. No, that's not what I'm thinking of. Goloka eva nivasatya akilatma bhuta. You're right, but Goloka eva nivasati. He's situated in Goloka Vrindavan. Goloka Vrindavanam paratyajya padamekam nagacchati. He never... Hare Krishna. Jai, welcome. You have an anasan? Do we? Or a chair? Would you like a chair? We have chairs. No, we're so happy you came. There we go. Jai. Goloka eva nivasati. He's always in Goloka Vrindavan. He never leaves Goloka Vrindavan. He never has to leave Goloka Vrindavan because everything is going on parashya shakti rividai vishuyate by his energies which work svabhaviki, automatically. Uh, It's Chana Rupam Api Yasya Chachestate. The material energy knows what Krishna wants and does it. Similarly, all of Krishna's energies, they know what Krishna wants and they act accordingly. He doesn't have to. People are actually in various religious traditions, they don't have a very clear idea about what God is up to. You get a picture of a sort of faceless eminence sitting on a throne somewhere, and maybe as children we imagine that he's got strings or buttons or something, and he manages like that. Or Prabhupada gives the example how Atlas is holding the world on his shoulders. There's not a very clear picture of how God controls the affairs of the material world or the spiritual world. It's just kind of there, and there may be various philosophical statements about it. I didn't want to just paint everyone with one brush, but in popular understanding at least, there's kind of not much understanding. God is somehow controlling everything because he's almighty. But how is he almighty? Here the description is that his energies are doing everything. And almighty means that he's the controller of these energies. And almighty further means that he doesn't have to get involved in the minutiae of how these energies work. He doesn't have to say, now you throw a thunderstorm, now you make a flood, now you dry up the water with some nice sunshine, now you do this, now you do that. He doesn't have to micromanage the material world. The energies are there, and they're sufficient to do everything svabhaviki, automatically. Automatically, svabhaviki. By their very nature, they act according to Krishna's direction. Mayajyakshena, prakriti suyate sarcharacharam. He glances over material nature. That's enough. He activates the material nature by his glance, and everything's set in motion. He doesn't have to leave Goloka Vrindavan to get involved in material administration. And therefore, Swarat, he's independent. He can have a great time in Goloka Vrindavan. He can dance with the gopis. He can steal butter. He can do all the things that he enjoys doing and not have to be preoccupied with, wait a second, did the sun rise this morning in New York City? He doesn't have to worry about all that. All these things are going on by his energies. Akilatma Bhuta, because he's everywhere, by the diffusion of his energies. Yena sarvam idam tatam. Everything is pervaded because shakti shakti mateyora beta. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's energies. We say the sun is in my room. It doesn't mean that the sun planet has descended and is somehow being contained in your apartment. But the sun is present by its rays. So we can accurately say the sun is in my room. But it means the sun rays are in my room. That's also the sun. We're very happy when we get some, in this season, we get some sun in our room. Then it warms things up and we feel better, and it's very nice because the sun is present by its energies. So we say the sun is all-pervading. The sun is everywhere. The sun is not limited to India or America. It's everywhere. But really, it's not everywhere. It's 93 million miles away. Doing its own business. But it extends itself everywhere by its energy, the sunshine. So Krishna works the same way. He's more than 93 million miles away. Calculation is there that this layer of the universe and that layer of the universe, and then 10 times more is the next layer, 10 times more the next layer, 10 times more the next layer. Go through all these layers of the universe. Then you get to the Vaikuntha planets and you have a huge expanse. Finally, you get to Goloka Vrindavan. How far away is that? And yet, Ishara Sarvabhutanam Hriday Sarjanatishtiti, he's present in everyone's heart by his plenary expansion as Paramatma. He's present in every corner of the universe by his energies. Ekadesha Stitas Yagnir Jyotsna Vistarani Yata Parashya Brahmana Shakti Tateda Makilam Jagat. As a fire is sitting in one place, but it's diffusing itself throughout a room in the form of heat and light, so the personality of Godhead is expanding himself everywhere through his energies. There's
lower the mic.
Hare Krishna. There's a sort of contradictory structure in the verse, so there's a paradox. He's everywhere, and yet he's very far away. Yes, first of all, he's transcendental. That means he's outside the whole universe. So in philosophy, is God immanent or transcendent? Is he in the world or is he beyond the world? So first it says he's beyond the world. Purushasa para, he's above it all. But then, yes, yantak sthani bhutani, everything's within him. And then again, he's within everything. He's within everything. In the Isha Upanishad, tad dure tad mantike tad antarasya sarvasya tadu sarvasya asya bhayataha. He walks, but he doesn't walk. He's within everything, and he's outside of everything. These contradictory descriptions are given of the personality of Godhead to emphasize that he's not like an ordinary person. If I'm in the room, I'm not outside the room. If I'm outside the room, I'm not in the room. And Krishna is both outside and inside. Taru sarvasyasya bhayata. Tarantarasya sarvasya. He's within everything. Taru sarvasya shivayata. He's outside of everything. Contradictory. That means he's not within the limits of our logic, of our circumscribed laws of what's possible and what's not possible. He's in his own, you'd say space these days. He's in his own category. He's got his own rules. He does things that we can't do. He does things that we can't do. He has capabilities that we don't have. So yasyantak sthani bhutani yena sarvam idam tatam. All of these things are described. And how can one reach him? Bhaktya. By devotional service. One may not be the greatest philosopher, one may not be the greatest logician, one may not have a PhD, but if one is a sincere devotee of the Lord, unalloyed devotee, then labhya, one can reach Krishna. Okay, any questions?
As you know, we've just been doing Prabhupada memories.
Mm.
And when Prabhupada was on the planet, it was much simpler and easier to make this movement your life and soul.
Mm.
But now the older devotees see the changes. And I'm wondering if you, a person in your position, might have some recommendations that we can pass on to others in regards to this, how they also can, in the seemingly absence of Srila Prabhupada, make this movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu their very life and soul.
Stick to what Prabhupada said. That's all.
Just the chanting of 16 rounds, four regular principles, reading morning and evening, coming to the programs. So many people are even being initiated now without even ever having attended Mangala Teek. And I feel like they're being cheated, you know. People are living away from the temples.
Well, living away or living in the temple is not the issue. One may, not everyone may live in the temple. And Prabhupada sometimes said that, in fact, there was some idea, some complaint that these people are not living in the temple. And Prabhupada said, no, this is good. We want, you know, the temple is like the prototype. This is what you do. And we want thousands of, you know, every home should be a temple. It's not that, I mean, what a problem if everybody wants to move into our temple. You know, especially India, you've got so many people who are, you know, ISKCON devotees or, you know, follow our teachings and everything, and if they all start writing that I want to live in the temple, I'm wanting to live in the temple, you know, we'll go mad. We won't be able to accommodate them.
Then make your home your temple.
Yeah, do the same thing. All these principles follow. Come to the temple, see how to worship the deity, see how to get up early in the morning, see how to follow everything, then at your home do that. And invite other people to come and chant Hare Krishna and hear from Bhagavad Gita. And then your home becomes the temple. I was just in Botswana, we just opened a big new temple. Botswana, yeah, Gaborone, north of South Africa. And basically there's well, two sets of brothers and sisters. Who are married, brother and sister, the two brothers married two sisters, and they made their home a temple. And then they got Krishna Balaram deities, and they're worshipping Krishna Balaram, but then their home was kind of not really adequate, so they built a temple. And, you know, so their home became a temple, but then that became, you know, proper temple. And that may also happen. You don't have to wait for there to be a big temple. Just worship Krishna in your home and invite other people to come. And maybe it'll grow into, you know, something big. Or not. It can just remain small and people can duplicate what you're doing in their homes. Hare Krishna.
How can I understand that when Krishna was on earth, many demons came to kill him, but in the spiritual world, there are no demons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bewildering for me.
So there's no need of killing them there. Therefore, this Vinashaya Tridushkritam goes on in the material world. In the spiritual world, there's no birth and death, so there's no killing.
Okay.
And there are no demons either.
Okay.
But, therefore, when Krishna wants to enjoy killing demons, he comes to the material world.
And Maharaj, one more question I had. I am a soul who is on this particular earth planet. Now, there are many other earth planets as well. So, how can I understand this, that when I leave this particular body, will I go in another earth planet which has Satyuga? Or Treta Yuga, or Dwapar Yuga, again I land up in the same earth planet, in the same country.
Why do you want to go to any of those planets?
It's,
you know, I don't mind coming back as long as it's Satya Yuga.
When you do too much of reading, you know, the nasty brain starts thinking, you know.
And tell it to go to hell.
No, because I know that we are devotees, we might land.
Ah, Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punarvartana. They're all places of birth and death. So you go to this earth planet, that earth planet, this yuga, that yuga, dry stool or wet stool. They're all unsuitable places for a gentleman, Prabhupada said, or lady. Unsuitable place for a living being. When you can attain Krishna by pure devotional service, why do anything else and stay here? The Kali Amashashvata, miserable place.
But in another lecture I heard, we will be taking 12 lifetimes to go back to Godhead. In some lecture...
12.
12 lifetimes. And I was like, Prabhupada said in this lifetime.
Yeah, well, watch out.
I don't remember very same things.
Somebody said that we will be taking 12 lifetimes to go back home, back to Godhead. I don't know, I don't remember the lecture, from where did I hear this? It is there, you know.
Anyway, you didn't hear it from Prabhupada. And there's... Yeah, Prabhupada.
I've heard three. However, who knows? Whether this is your third or your 12th or whatever it is, Prabhupada specifically said, try to go back home in this lifetime. And he specifically said that it is possible to go home in this lifetime. All you have to do is chant 16 very good rounds, follow the four regulative principles, and eat Krishna Prasadam. And if you have some spare time, do some devotional service and preach Lord Chaitanya's mission. But that's not even required. So, it's very simple. It's just, it's very simple for the simple and very difficult for the crooked. That's what Prabhupada said. And we've been in this material world so long, we're pretty crooked. So we just have to simplify.
Keep it simple. Good, that's all you need.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So Prabhupada used to condemn and all these Mayavadi sannyasis and all. So nowadays we find they are overtaking, building bigger temples and openly stating they are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all. So should somebody from ISKCON try to condemn them and stop them, or just leave it to Krishna and do our business?
Stop them is something we should be speaking out. Not that they do all their rubbish and we just watch. Well, while the Mayavadis are busy preaching all their rubbish, we argue with one another about whether the soul came from Vaikuntha, or came from Goloka Vrindavan, or came from the Brahmajyoti, or came from Hyderabad, or whatever it is.
So who should stop this? And
you should. You should. Everyone. Everyone should be speaking strongly.
Well, I tried and I was thrown out, Maharaj.
Huh?
I did and I was thrown the doors out.
You also?
Door out.
Oh, that's good.
Speaking.
That's good. That's a success. If you speak out at one of their meetings and they show you the door, that means that you created a disturbance. Very good. Why should they get away with it? I'm Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'm Krishna. Shastric reference. There's Shastric references, yada yada hi dharmasya. That's as far as they get. You know, Krishna comes in every age, therefore I'm Krishna. Such ridiculous. They're so flimsy. And if we don't speak out, what are we doing? Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschachadeshadari. Prabhupada's mission was to deliver the world from these duskritana mudha naradhama maya pratigana asura bhavamashvata. It's our duty. Prabhupada said preaching means fighting. So it's our duty. We should make them uncomfortable. It should be tough. They should know that if I say this, then some of the ISKCON mullahs are going to come and criticize me. They should know that. And they should know that they're going to be criticized hard by good arguments, and that we're not going to accept their rubbish, and that we're going to tell people that this person is cheating you. This is all rubbish. Kalki avatar down south, or some person who's a Kalki avatar. Rubbish. We shouldn't just be wasting our time preoccupied with useless internal arguments about how many Gandharvas will fit on the head of a pin. Practically, if we go out and preach against the Mayavadis, the demons, the materialists, the atheistic scientists, and so on, our problems in ISKCON will go away. So we won't have time for them. And if we neglect the preaching, then we'll find, you know, so many ISKCON problems, marital problems, mental problems, personal problems, this problem, that problem. Because we're not doing our job. And we should do our job. Then we'll be happy. And the world will benefit.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
There must be some reward for the smallest thing people can think of to criticize, because I'm amazed at some of the things they come up with. Somebody told me recently, do you know what goes on in India? And I'm thinking of what they burn women in kitchen fire. He says, in some temples, they arrange for devotees to counsel each other. And I said, this is what you pick to criticize of all the things that happen in the world? So there must be some reward to think of the...
Yeah, the reward is mrityu samsara.
Yep.
You get to come back.
Yes. Isn't that awful? I don't know what they think, you know. No. Now, why would that be the problem of all the things that... No, the one person actually did say, he was saying that, you know, and I'm thinking he must, what's going on in India, I'm thinking corruption or something, but that's what he was thinking of.
There's no end of what can come up and come up and come up. Therefore, our business, as Parvati Ma said, chant Hare Krishna, follow the four regulative principles. If you get some time, engage in devotional service, and go back to eat prasadam and go back to Godhead.
This is all some kind of sense gratification, all of this stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody getting into this
area. We get sense gratification by helping people become Krishna conscious. That's satisfying.
That litany of verses, Priyosine, Krishna says, of when the devotees are preaching to my devotees, he's the most dear. So this is actually one of the best things. And the other best thing is that if you have a temple like ours and you have like 10,000 people walking through the front gate, it would really be nice if some of the hundreds of devotees living in the ashram at least greet these people with a Hare Krishna and maybe a few kind words and maybe even a little bit of philosophy if they think they can digest it, or maybe a little prasadam or something like that, in addition to thrusting a book into their guts. So, I mean, they would feel like reciprocating, and they would take the book willingly and look at, you know, try to get as much as they could to see if they could get into the program. If we actually took care of the people coming through, because it's especially in Vrindavan, it's very special to come to Vrindavan, so we should feel like reciprocating. I believe Prabhupada built the temple in order for people to associate with sadhus, not just to have an additional temple out of the 5,000 temples, which are probably at least 20,000 temples by now, but that's the point, that we just... It's so easy to say Hare Krishna to people. And it's so easy to just give a real simple synopsis of the philosophy. And if they can't do it and you can't speak their language, you smile and make them your friend, and they'll feel like you know, they'll go home with something. And they may take to the process.
And give them a book too. We are over time. Aren't we? We can go on a little bit. Yeah, I can't. I have an appointment, but that's... Yeah. Yes? How we did CC in 2 months? Well, that's a... Well, it's a big story, but...
I heard it 2 years back from you in the same room.
Well, then you heard it. We should stick a little close to the subject matter. You know, to start on Leela's, then it's another story altogether. but that shouldn't be the last Leela, you know. There's so many more books to publish. By the way, Jananivas, if you can bring down those three Zulu books, we want to give Shruti Prabhu a copy of those. Shruti Prabhu is one of our pioneers in preaching in Africa. You're also one of our pioneers in preaching in Africa, but we gave copies of those books here for Prabhupada, for his house. So, trying to publish a few books. Excuse me? You were in Black Africa? Yeah. I was just in Nigeria, Ivory Coast, and Togo. They're pretty black, yeah.
I was in South Africa in January and Nairobi and
Imaipur. Oh, fantastic.
Nigeria is a little more sophisticated than the
others. Yeah, Nigeria is a sophisticated, crazy country. But anybody who's looking to preach, there's about they've crossed 1 billion people in Africa. There's about 45 countries or so, by the latest count. And we're preaching in about 14 of them. So choose a country. There's lots of space. You know, if you can't get along with your temple president or whatever it is. There's all sorts of things going on. My specific job is to try to make sure that books are available for the devotees, that we produce books and deliver them, and to encourage them to distribute. They distribute on the street, they distribute door to door, they distribute this way or that way. All sorts of different ways. South Africa, lately they've gotten some permission for distributing books in malls, because actually street distribution in South Africa has become a little perilous. The personal security situation in South Africa has deteriorated. So it's good to have, you know, a sort of a safe place where devotees can distribute books. Also, house to house is a little more difficult in South Africa because everybody's got armed security. So, a little hard to get in, but devotees are distributing serious numbers of books in South Africa. In Kenya, there's big-time book distribution. One lady, Dwarkarani, is our lead book distributor, Indian girl. She says, "But I don't waste time with the Indians. They're useless." She said, "They know everything." So she approaches the African people and finds them very receptive. And she goes everywhere. She's fearless. She just goes and goes and depends on Krishna, and every day goes out with her, sometimes alone, sometimes with other ladies. And
what's her name?
Dwarkarani, the disciple of Gopal Krishna Maharaj. So very good. Very good example, you know, and she's always happy because she's always distributing books. They've started a library there also. They started a restaurant in at the Nairobi Temple downstairs. They've made a restaurant specifically with like local dishes and at local prices to you know, meant for the African people. And then next door to that, they've made a Bhaktivedanta library where people can sit and read all of Prabhupada's books. I went in there to sort of see what was going on. There was this fellow with a tattered shirt and, you know, sort of a scruffy profile sitting there reading, and said, "Could I ask a question? Since words are all material, how can the absolute truth be expressed in words?" You know, he's reading prayers by the personified Vedas. So, there. having very, very seriously trying to. Oh yeah, that things have changed since Prabhupada's time. Yeah. Yeah, in Prabhupada's time, it was don't even bother distributing books. It's chant Hare Krishna and distribute prasadam. Now we're interested in going to the universities and distributing books to the African people, and they become, they're interested and they become devotees, and it's definitely changed. Yeah. Okay. So there can be lots more marathons. It doesn't have to be like, you know, one time in the universe many years ago there was a 16 book marathon. You should be doing more. Do 30 books. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.